You're listening to a resource from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to promote excellence in biblical counseling. For more resources or to find out more information about ACBC, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.
I think we're ready to start. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our evening here. Lord, thank you that we are privileged to be your children. You said after every creation, every created item, every single day, and it was good. And so we know that the plants and the animals and the sun, moon, and stars and all that we get to observe in nature is good. But you created man, and with that, you did create sex, and that was good. And I pray that tonight might just be an enjoyable time, refreshing time, challenging, convicting, whatever you choose to merge into our lives, that we would allow this to be initially a session that helps us in our own relationship, in a marriage, or, and even in our case right now, more importantly, as we're counselors, to help those who come to see us, to help them to see this as a gift from you. And it must be a gift then we present to each other. Well, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned before, we'll just leave this on the slide here just a little while until we get to that actual section of the notes. But I wanted to start out, if you would, first of all, this microphone has been kind of doctor ordered or encouraged or highly stated. I had voice nodule surgery about a year ago, and the first response of the doctor and the physical therapist or voice therapist or whoever you, whatever, was that I could no longer talk when I exercise. That I wasn't supposed to run with people and talk out loud because that's extra, or riding a bike or whatever. So I was just like, well, that's one of the neatest ways to get to know people and even minister to folks that don't know the Lord is to run and bike with them. So this idea came up to be able to use a device like this, and the doctor's like, well, that would actually be something you really ought to do so that I'm talking in a confidential voice all the time. And so what I've done is I use this now when I teach a small class. Of course, in a church setting, you have your PA system, but in a small class, running or riding or whatever. So this just went through the Palo Alto Canyons in up near Dalhart, Texas, a few days ago. So I had to wipe off some mud. So I hope it'll work for us today. But what are some, initially, what are some questions? Let me just throw out a few ideas, some questions to you, and I hope you'll respond. What makes physical intimacy, or the word sex, what God has created to be, what makes that a difficult topic to discuss? Anyone want to share your thoughts? What makes that a hard topic, difficult topic, embarrassing topic, awkward topic to discuss?
It's intimate.
Okay, very good. It is. It's very intimate. It's just a closed one-person relation, you know, spousal relationship. Good. It's intimate. What else makes it a difficult topic to discuss? It does. And why do we have negative connotations?
Because there's misunderstanding about what it is.
Exactly. There's misunderstandings. And why do we have misunderstandings?
The world.
Exactly. The world took what God created to be good and perverted it. And so all of a sudden it's exploited. We have Hebrews 13:4, of course. You know, the marriage bed is undefiled. And somehow they took it outside of that. So, another comment?
Personal.
Yes. Very personal. Oh, sure. And that's what even makes it difficult, not just to discuss in a group setting, but even in a spousal relationship. It is very personal, and it's not something that often is discussed. Good. Someone else, another comment to that? Why does it make it difficult to discuss? Or I can throw another question in. So,
because sometimes you look like this is physical. It's not necessarily have a connection with the spiritual thing.
That's right. Sometimes it's people hard to see, well, this is physical, so how does that have anything to do with spiritual? Very good. That's right. And we're supposed to honor God in all that we do. And I do believe, we'll see as we get here, that we honor God in our physical relationship and even in our role relationships and our communication and our finances. Those are the four kind of key areas that tend to rise their surface in marriage relationships that could be causes for great intimacy or great catastrophe. And it's interesting, of those four, if any one gets out of sorts, gets out of line, it tends to mess up the other three, doesn't it? I mean, such a simple illustration, but a four-cylinder car, You get one $1.99 spark plug messing, and what happens? The whole car is messed up. And so let's remember that even as we want to work on that. So why is it difficult for couples to be compatible in their physical relationship? Why is it difficult for couples to be compatible?
Pride.
Okay, pride. Yeah, this is what I want, this is what I need, this is what I, you ought to understand me by now, shouldn't you? Okay, pride gets in the way. What else makes it difficult for couples to be compatible?
Fear.
I'm sorry, fear? Yep, fear does. What was this?
Ignorance.
Okay, great. So fear of the unknown, you could almost throw those two together, but there's the fear that I might have to give more than I'm willing to. Or not being wanted. That's right. That's right. Very good. So there is fear, and that makes it difficult. So all of a sudden, you can see why, ooh, let's talk about something else. And it is so much easier.
Two sinners.
That's right. That's right. And don't forget, you are a sinner, and you married a sinner. But if you just, this is not a marriage seminar, this is on us helping others. But if you think about it, if every person would work on themselves, it would be amazing how they end up being able to respond. And then I'd like to at least throw this in there, especially pre-marriage counseling, and then, of course, as newlyweds, and hopefully even as couples are coming to you, it's brand new. It ought to be anyway, and it's nothing to be ashamed of that there's not any knowledge or understanding of this. There's books you can read, and perhaps that can be of assistance, but primarily, this is new, and I want it to be new. And then you begin the process of communicating and working through together. And then one more question, and then I promise I'll talk a little bit. What are unwholesome views held by couples when it comes to a physical relationship? What are some unwholesome views?
That it's about what I can get, not what I can get.
Exactly, very good. It's what I can get versus what I should offer. And that's that selfish that often, if you kind of go down to the bottom of every single sin issue in our lives, it is selfishness, or you could say pride. Maybe another one, what's another unwholesome view, perhaps, of that some couples will hold? Yes, ma'am.
Weaponize.
I'm sorry?
Weaponize.
Yes, yes, to weaponize, to hold it over you. If you don't do this for me, then forget it, you know. Or I'll only do this if. Good. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say kind of like that. It's all about duty.
Good. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Good. Duty versus a relationship. And it's amazing what a relationship can do to get rid of that duty idea. And so very good. So let's think about this whole concept. First of all, I would love any truth to be thought of as this helps each of us in our own personal relationships. One with God, as you said, spiritually, and then one in a physical relationship with the partner that God has put us with. But then kind of the reason for this in a counseling seminar and a session is to help others as they come to talk to you, to be most prepared to help them to see this as a, let's be unselfish. Let's see what Scripture says about this. So I threw this in kind of as a funny tongue-in-cheek statement, not thinking they would take it, and then they took it. You know how we submit our things as fellows, and they're like. So I titled this, of course, Physical Intimacy, God's Gift to Us. I didn't create it. God did. And it's our gift to each other. And, of course, the world says, if you feel it, do it. That's just so carnal and so crass. And then I said, well, according to God's word, if you do it, you'll feel it. If you do what's right, you know you're ministering and serving. So according to 1 Corinthians 7, husbands and wives are told not to deprive, and we'll dive in that a little bit later, a little deeper, but are told not to deprive one another. Hebrews 13:4 reminds us the marriage bed is undefiled. And specifically here, marriage is enhanced when every area of marriage is intimate. You know, too often I think we think of intimate means sexy. Well, intimate means close. And so you should be intimate in your role relationship. You should be intimate in your communication. You should be intimate in your physical. You should be intimate even in your finances. You know, work together. Make sure it's what you are close in working through that. So God's design of sex is only to be enjoyed in the marriage context. So if it's only to be enjoyed in the marriage context, then you must enjoy it in the marriage context. And some people are like, oh no. Either even as this topic has been shared, that is so tough. If someone has been sexually abused in their past, whether it's even sexual or even emotional, talked down to, that gets in the way of a relationship. And of course, what's so wonderful is you and we can't solve every problem in this room here, but wonderful is you encourage them for God's forgiveness or them to forgive the perpetrator, but to move on, because 1 Corinthians 7 doesn't say only if you've never been physically abused, only if you kept yourself pure before you were married. It's no, you are not to defraud your spouse. End of statement. Doesn't matter all the ifs, ands that have occurred up to this point. So we want to make sure Scripture is what drives this, not our own, do I like it, how do I feel, fear of, whatever it may be. It's interesting, in Song of Solomon, it specifically says there not to stir up or awaken love until it pleases, until it comes to fruition, until it's right. And so that really is what we want to encourage anybody that's in our counseling, is if you are married, then it should be stirred up. If you're not married, then it shouldn't be stirred up. Or if you're in a very difficult transition time, then you're not supposed to be out acting married if you're not married. That's kind of the word we used to use with our four children. You can act married when you're married, and until you're married, you can't act married. That kind of works with a third grader. When you're about 21, you start knowing what you're talking about. But I think that's always been kind of a simple truth for us all to think through. So, of course, Scripture forbids the improper use and the improper context of sex. God's Word gives many prohibitions. We'll look at Proverbs 5 in just a little bit, too. But Scripture, I sincerely believe, strongly commends the full enjoyment of sex within the context of marriage. If he said it was good, and everything was good, then I certainly believe that when Adam saw Eve, saw this woman over here, I believe he was enthralled. And not just the physical sex side of this, but I have someone to commune with. But then everything about it, every one of his desires and needs and wants should have been met in that home relationship. Such sexual enjoyment between a husband and a wife is a blessed expression of lifelong commitment and mutual delight. If we would take such thoughts there, that this is lifelong, it's not just for this Friday night. It's not just for, okay, we're going to wait till we go to Honolulu, then we're really going to. No, it could be and should be a lifelong. I mean, if you've committed a covenant relationship, I'm yours and yours only. Helping couples in a counseling relationship to help them to realize you covenanted more than just, okay, we're going to split the rent. You planned on my everything is yours, and you want to follow through with that. There's definitely a joyful celebration of the beauty of creation in the human body and all its features and distinctiveness. I mean, can you just imagine all that God must have put into us to have what a physical relationship entitles one to, and what pleasures and opportunities that are there. It's like this blows your mind. I could have never thought of all the scientific ways to make this all come about. So let's not ever think of it as dirty, although I can see why we do, as you said back there. Our world has turned this around and made something that God wanted to be good and took it the wrong way. There is definitely a wonder and a glory in God's creation of male and female and the beauty of each gender and how it complements each other. I mean, if you just sat here and just started talking and thinking through, we would never go any farther because it would just be on and on and on that God created it this way. There's freedom and security found in unrivaled, exclusive, passionate, and lifelong commitment. Freedom and security. I just love thinking that what God has given to us is to liberate us in a marriage relationship. And as that saying goes, I say yes to one, I say no to everybody else. That's liberating. Saying no to everybody else, yes. You can be married, enjoy the physical relationship, and be pure for life. It's not a, oh my word, this is way too enjoyable. I'm sure this can't be good. It's what God created. So don't go, no, this is God's creation. So the Song of Solomon, the part of Scripture that we may not necessarily read aloud tonight, but is refreshingly honest in acknowledging that waiting for love and not misusing sexuality is very difficult. Because once you have that joy and that refreshing, no, it's not for outside of it, within. And even this thought from Song of Solomon, sexual longing is not wrong. The desire for is not the wrong. It's fulfilling it in a wrong way that's wrong. So I really want, well, good. You're acting like God made you. But there's a limit to that. Hebrews 13:4. So want that till you're married and enjoy it while you're married. But until you are, no. God is wanting you to have what's best for you. And I think some people really lose out on what God really wants for them because they love fixing meals and they love taking walks, but that part, I don't know. Some of it, one of you said misinformation. Some of you said lack of information. Some of you said holding it over their head, like weaponizing. So sexual longing is not wrong, but sexual enjoyment before marriage does defile God's design. And so one thing I just throw out right away, if that, in a marriage situation, if you're in a counseling scenario, or perhaps even in your relationship, well, if it was wrong, what do we do when things are wrong? Seek God's forgiveness for it. Never can enjoy it because I did wrong before. Yeah, unfortunately, that did happen. But unfortunately, someone was abused. Oh, that happened, so I can't. You seek God's forgiveness. He wipes it all clean. I love the statement, God's, the ground at the cross is level. And so, I stole $5 from my mom. Ask God to forgive it for you. I committed fornication before I got married. Ask God to forgive you for it. What does he say in 1 John? If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from most, how many unrighteousnesses? All unrighteousness. So for the $5 or the, so he forgives you for that. So we want to, but sometimes it takes a while to understand why someone's having a hard time, because maybe this did happen in their past. And so sometimes it's not just physical intimacy counseling. Sometimes it's going back a ways to find out why is this the sticky wick? And when you can resolve that, all of a sudden the liberation is just wonderful. So that's why we pray for each other, and that's why we pray before we talk to somebody, that's why we pray while we're talking to somebody, and that's why we pray when they leave. Because God, give me wisdom, help me to say what is right. So let's begin here with a couple of verses in Scripture, and I've asked a few of you folks to read. So first of all, we're going to look at God's gift to us, and then we're going to look at our gift then to each other. And so as I said earlier, this is kind of both ways. This is in a context like this, if it can be of encouragement and help in your own marriage relationship, fabulous. And then it's kind of twofold because you are helping people in theirs, and I hope this can be a great asset to you in that way. So Sterling, would you please read in Genesis 1:28, this gift was given right away. Go, please.
God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
So God commanded it. Be fruitful and multiply. And we all know enough about science and biology that if you don't have a physical union, you're not going to have a physical baby from that union. Now, I know there's always adoptions and things like that, but you know what I'm getting at. So God commanded it. This gift was given right away. And there has to be, there just absolutely has to be, the desire that God puts into someone's life for there to be this craving to do that physical union. I know I've had people comment to me when they've shared their instruction to their children. And I still remember this one pastor friend said he had gone through and just really, and just thought the son was just right with him. And loved it and was like, yeah, okay. And then all of a sudden, when he got done, the son goes, ooh, do you and mommy do that? And you know, and so I mean, he was explaining it to him, and then it sounded odd. And it's like, no, God created us to be this way. And so we want that to be not ooh, but we want it to be wow. James, you have two sets here. So first of all, if you'd read 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 25, this gift was to be enjoyed.
All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience.
So all has been created, but saying that all is not good means it doesn't mean the physical relationship and sex outside of marriage, that's not when it's good. It's only good when it's in the context there. And so specifically there, it's to be enjoyed. If God's made it and it's to be lawful, then lawfully enjoy it. Oh, I can go 55 on the highway, so I'm just going to drive 40. No, some of you are too lawful. You're beyond lawful. You're at 75. But anyway, my point is mainly, you are privileged to have this, so enjoy it to God's glory. I do believe the joy returns to you too, but it's to God's glory. And then if you would, James, 1 Corinthians 10:31. This gift is in, The gift, here we go. The gift is to be enjoyed to God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31.
So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Now, we're not going to fill in the everything else you can do, but whether you eat or drink, and then fill in any other blank. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. I actually helped with the basketball team at one time, and we would say, whether if we eat or drink or play basketball, do all to the glory of God. So you insert whatever you want to. All things is all things. And I guess even eating quiche. No. There's definitely all things. And then, Jason, 1 Timothy 4:4, please. All right, everything is created for good, and nothing's to be rejected. So even like some of you said, oh, I'm not going to now, or I'm not going until then. No, all things. God gave us this gift. Then, Tom, sex should be appreciated as a gift from God. Keep that, Tom, if you would read that. Isn't that neat? In holiness and honor. And then Titus 1:15 as well, please.
To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled.
Doing what's right lets you continue to feel and do what's right. And unfortunately, you start doing wrong, and what happens? You start thinking and being wrong all the time. So let it be a positive thing here. God, in this case, is a gift from God. And if God gave it to you, you appreciate it. You love it. We've all given gifts to people at some point in time and you give them the wrong size, the wrong color, the wrong name brand. And how do you feel when they don't ever wear it? It goes in the closet and you see them re-gift it to somebody else one day. You know, that's horrible. And I'd like to say the same thing about the physical relationship. If God gave you this gift, and you squander it, or you defraud it, or you keep it from, I think in some ways, it's God's gift, and I'm not appreciating it. And anything I'm saying, please make it two-sided here. I'm always saying it, both you as your counselor, and even in relationships that would be in here. So, Bobby, Hebrews 13:4. God has certain expectations, limited and limitless. Okay, those expectations, it's undefiled or it's defiled. The marriage bed is undefiled. The bed in an unmarried relationship is defiled. And God wants us in this area to realize these are His expectations. So it's limited to the marriage union. It's limitless in the marriage union. I mean, I think that's so cool. It's up to you. I would encourage you not to be, oh, let's find such and such a book and let's read this and this is what we're going to be like. You write your own book. Let your own chapter happen and be that way. Sexuality was God's idea. Human sexuality is one of God's most marvelous and blessed ideas. I mean, we could just talk and talk and talk about how amazing it can be. And I'm not trying to be this, and you know this, this is not a sex therapy program. This is help the people that come to see you to be intimate in every one of their relationships, role relationship, communication, physical, and finances. God is not boring, prudish, or ashamed of sex. He wrote some pretty explicit stuff. To make the procedure whereby procreation takes place an experience of intense attraction, intense bonding, and intense pleasure was his idea. Unfortunately, some of the magazines and some of the websites and just becoming rampant, they chose that to be their seller. But God's who made it that way. And it was his idea. And I had to write this so I could say it the right way, because it's beautiful, but it's not anything. It just comes right off the cuff. The beauty of human sexuality is expressed thoroughly and without hesitation in the Song of Solomon. I mean, it's kind of like, son, you can read the Bible, but leave out Song of Solomon. You know, well, what do they go to first if you say that? And so you want to, of course, but God wrote it. And he wrote such verses as Proverbs 5 and things like that. So throughout the book of Song of Solomon, there is a refreshing freedom, joy, and delight expressed by the couple in their passionate mutual admiration, their intense sexual longing for marriage, and the final and wonderful consummation of their marriage bond. I mean, reading Song of Solomon, yes, there is definitely parallels to Christ and the church. But there is no mention of the church in Song of Solomon. It is about the man and the woman. Now, of course, you go back into Ephesians, where it talks about husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, and wives submit your husbands as unto the Lord. True. But Song of Solomon is just so refreshing when you read it as this is God's joyful union you get to and are privileged to enjoy. So Song of Solomon, in his writing, it's beautiful. There was no shame. It was beautifully passionate, beautifully pure, and even beautifully provocative. And when I use the word provocative, it's enticing. Well, great. There is absolutely nothing wrong with being enticed to be refreshed in the joy of the relationship with your spouse. That's wonderful. It was God created it. It was good, right along with everything else he created. So, of course, I asked the question at the beginning, and I ask it now rhetorically, what has changed? And it's the misuse of the physical relationship. So, sexuality was God's idea, passion, procreation, and purity. If you think about that, we said that earlier on, but you're not going to have children without this physical union. Passion is there, procreation is there, but I'd love to address the idea of the purity part as well, just for a moment. And I think I better put it in now, because I think it might be at the end, and you know how sometimes the end happens, we're ended and I don't get there. But Proverbs 27:7, did I ask somebody to read that? I don't think I did. I think I left that myself. Okay, good. So Proverbs 27:7 reads, and this is still King James mind, but I enjoy reading other versions now too, but King James, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry every bitter herb seems sweet. So you know what it's like when you go mow your lawn, ride the canyon, do whatever, and you come in and you are kind of tired and hot and sweaty, and there is half a glass of water and a charred hot dog, and you just wolf that down because you're starved. But when you've gone out for that nice date and nice baked potato and steak, and then all of a sudden, and then you get that nice piece of pecan pie or peach pie or whatever you insert your favorite, and then the waitress comes out and she's like, oh, I forgot to mention, it's 2-for-1 tonight. Can I give you another steak? And you are so full, it's like, no, I can't have any more steak. I am stuffed with something that was so good, I can't eat any more good. I only parallel that to the physical relationship, and I would encourage others, that be full in your physical relationship in your marriage, and then you won't look elsewhere. You don't need that tawdy internet. You don't need that crazy magazine. You don't need that other relationship, because you've got such a full, refreshing, liberating relationship. So passion, procreation, and purity. And if folks will enjoy their passion with the spouse God provides, then purity is there till death do they part. So, of course, here, these will be some of the passages we won't read, but I'd love for you to know, and you know them, and you've read them, but one of the neatest things you can do is not without embarrassing, but one of the greatest homework assignments you can give is, all right, I know you guys are having a difficult time with your physical relationship. Not necessarily the act of, but it's got to get past the mind first. And there's either past, whether it's abuse or whether it's past misinformation or whether mom and dad have been like, don't ever get close to a girl. You know what's going to happen if you do. I mean, you get such crazy instructions in everybody's life. And then all of a sudden they're married. And it's like, this guy wants this and I don't know. Or she wants this and I'm not really sure. My mom always said, well, I'd like you just to read out loud, just the two of you. You go home and this is your homework assignment. I want you to read the Song of Solomon aloud. And I want you to emphasize what I think Song of Solomon is emphasizing. And that's the passion and the purity of liberated sexual love in a marriage relationship. And as they read that and they come back the next time, they'll be like, whoa, we've never talked like that before. But because we could use scripture to talk that way, all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, this is God's creation. This is what God said was good. So I would encourage you, and I have those scriptures for you. And then here, in this specific area here, Song of Solomon again, this is where there's that sexual longing for marriage. And Abishag is wanting Solomon. And it's like, I can't have him yet. And this is, I mean, you could, in 21st century, this is killing me. Well, good. Wait on it. This is awesome, because then in marriage, this is, oh, wait, no, I can, this is for me. This is God's gift to me. And then I must give this as a gift to each other. So, yeah, some people you're going to talk with are like, I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time waiting. That's okay. It's still God's gift. And you'd rather wait till the gift is given in the right way than to lose that gift. And that's one of the reasons I think it's great to teach this at 9, 10, 11, and 12. In fact, there was this story of this dad who was nervous and wanting to talk to his son. And finally it was like, oh, I need to talk to him. Okay, son, I'd like to talk to you about sex. And the son goes, so dad, what do you want to know? You know, unfortunately, it's being talked about. And we want to get the right information, God's information. Help them to see that. And then here, Song of Solomon emphasizes there is a right time and a wrong time for sex. Hebrews 13:4 kind of spells that out. In the marriage bed, it is the right time. Prior to, and if something occurs in your marriage, and you're not, just if you're married, act married. If you're not, don't act married. So let's look at some of these prohibitions to the physical relationship, just so that we're making sure we encourage them in the right way. And then, just like we're encouraged against the wrong, let's look at when it's right. So, David, would you read, you have several there, Leviticus 18:22, or is it you, David? Is that right? Okay, Leviticus 18:22, and then we'll talk a little bit, and then I'll go to the next one. Go. Okay, so there's a rule there. Go ahead, Proverbs 5:20 through 23.
Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman, and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? Her man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquity of the wicked ensnares him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for a lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray.
He uses the desires God gave him, but not in the confines that God gave him. Very good. And then 1 Corinthians 6:9.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But not deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers, nor the effeminate or abusers of themselves with mankind.
So again, he's sharing, look how serious that is. And we're not going to get into, was he saved, wasn't he saved? But God's specifically saying, if you're doing wrong, this is not for you who know Jesus as your Savior. So let's look at the positive here. Scripture just as strongly commends the full enjoyment of sex within the God-ordained context of marriage. And Dave, Proverbs 5:15 and 1 Corinthians 7:3. And actually, if you could read, just Proverbs 5:15. And actually, it goes through verse 19 and then 1 Corinthians 7. So Dave.
Here we go.
All right. And then it'll go on, just so we're not being awkward. It goes on and talks about how to enjoy your wife and what intoxication there can be there as the deer enjoys just the refreshment of their own eating. This can be the joy that you can have in your own relationship. And then 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5, please. Awesome. Thank you. So if you read that right to its fullest, you're thinking, all right, initially, there is a enjoyment of sex. There is a command, don't defraud, don't withhold. You kind of use the word weaponize. Don't keep this as a way to get your own way or to keep from making someone happy. And then it specifically goes on and says, this is God's way. Now, maybe, and I've never had a marital issue that they're just praying about something. That's why they're not being what they should be to each other. If there is a process, like, you know what, we need to pray about something, because what is the purpose of praying? You're separate, you're praying because you want to get back together again, even stronger than you were before. So maybe a week or two, like, you know what, we just are each other's throat so bad, maybe the best thing is to go apart, but only because we want to get back together again. And so maybe there's that process. But it's a maybe, 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 and only. So that's God's way he's gifted us. Now let's look at our gift to each other. This first part has no slides, and then we'll go into some others. So through Christ, okay, remember no one else did this, through Christ, God's design for humanity in all of its fullness is being restored and renewed. Think about that. Everything today is new and fresh because of Christ. You are liberated to live holy unto God. I know several times I've shared this in a variety of ways. You can do whatever you want to do as long as it pleases God. If people would just grasp that, instead of it being, can I do this, Dad? Can I do this, Mom? You can do whatever you want as long as it pleases God. And you start thinking about that, and wow, what a railroad track you're on. But you're liberated to do what's right. How far does a train get when it, oh, I'm going to get off this track? It goes nowhere when it gets off the track, right? When it's on track, it is moving. It's liberated to do what's right, to do what's created for. And we're created to honor and bring glory to God. So let that be in the physical. There's nothing. So the Song of Solomon presents a picture of God-honoring sexual delight that is one expression of the blessed life that we have in Christ and his glorious redemption. I want you to go out and serve God. I want you to please God. I want you to enjoy the physical relationship in your life. I want you to witness. I want you to testify. Ooh, what's that third one? Why did you say that? Because God did. God wants that. So Christians, however, have often been among those who have misunderstood or misused sexuality. Some are taught or have been taught to be ashamed of sex, to lack joy and delight in the gift of sexuality within marriage is to miss God's perfect design and provision. Everything he created was good. So you work hard, that's good. The physical relationship, no, it's good. There is also brokenness in the global church because of failing marriages, adultery, and sexual abuse. And that's what this conference, in a sense, is all about. What a fabulous first session. But what a fabulous way to realize God can liberate us from anything that has been in our past that has messed us up. And therefore, the global church is seeing the failing marriages, adultery, and sexual abuse like, well, you know, I guess we better stay away from that topic. No. It's even more important that we talk about that topic so that we don't abuse it, so that we don't harm somebody, so that it's within the context of. And sometimes some of your counseling is going to be helping someone who's been abused, whether it be to seek forgiveness that they ended up being in a wrong relationship, or to literally forgive the person who's done them wrong. Because they got to get that out of themselves, because they have to enjoy their relationship. And sometimes, you're right, people hide their memories and hold them back, and they don't want to talk about it. So they come into their marriage thinking I'm not going to talk about that part, that's been hidden for so long. And I'm not getting on to that person. That's horrible. But now's the time for them to seek God's cleansing and allow them to be liberated, because 1 Corinthians 7 is there for everybody. And it might mean, well, we're not going to talk about the physical relationship right now. Let's go back to this time in your life. Well, that's what we're here for. We're here to help them to be liberated into the joy of the Lord. I love the thought, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. I mean, that is incredible. And you have counseled, or you will, where you bring somebody from darkness, like it says here, from darkness into light, and you're just overjoyed. You just love it. I know early on in my counseling time, when I first began, I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to write that down. I just said that. That was great. Oh, I'm going to write something else down. That was great. And I never did. I'm so glad I didn't, because then I started realizing, well, you idiot, you called unto God, you asked him to give you wisdom, he gave it to you, and then you tried to take credit for it. You know, it's God's glory. And so just let yourself be that conduit, but just make sure you're cleansed and clean and able, because you know what it's like when you have a pipe that's full of something else, can't get that water through. So be that cleansed conduit. There is a need for discussion and teaching about sexuality within the church, but it is utterly countercultural in some societies. Sex is often not openly discussed. And whatever its culture or situation, the church must take the responsibility to teach these topics rather than allowing its people to learn about sexuality from secular society. And so, literally, it may be that when you're in a setting, a session, you're their first teacher. That's okay. I can't believe you didn't know that, because you're embarrassed to talk about it. You be sure to say, let's talk. And even, not that my notes are that great, except that they're from God's, I feel like the verses you're going to use are great. Let it be, look what God's word said about this. Oh, wow. I never thought about it that way, because I was, or because I had, or because. The content of teachings and discussion will likely challenge cultural norms, but we need to help people get to repentance, gospel renewal, mentoring, and encouragement. Wow. If we can just help people get to that specific area, we will be most joyful, and you know they will be. Sexual happiness in marriage will not occur naturally or by accident. Sex is not the most important part of marriage, but it is a very important part that must be talked about and worked on. And as this one author has written, sex is intended for pleasure. It is for procreation. It is for pleasure. Sex can enhance the relationship. Sex can kind of detonate it as well. And we want to make sure that we help people realize, yes, it is a very strong emotion, and it's something that's very much desired. But then let's let it be good and be something that's refreshing and enjoyable for God's glory. So, again, we won't read some of these, but it's kind of the same. Did I not go far enough? Was I just talking? Wait, sorry. I can talk, but I can't work electronics. Here we go. Okay, so Song of Solomon displays this as pleasure. I mean, over and over. Now, I don't know if talking about your wife's teeth as sheep on the mountain is going to do a whole lot for her. Or her midsection to be kind of like, I don't know, whatever those words are that they use, heaps of sheep, heaps of wheat or something like that, you know. That's not going to do a whole lot for your wife when you talk to her that way. However, you know what he's talking about. He's talking about her and how refreshing and enjoyable she is. Seriously, one of the greatest, I remember doing this and this person was like, "Yeah, I don't know if I can do that." And then came back like, this was awesome. Write your wife a Song of Solomon letter and talk about how great she is to you. Have her write to you. It's going to be a uniquely different letter, but how great you are to her. And let that be a, wow, we just enjoyed what God wanted to do. Now, was it David, is that right? Did you read Proverbs 5 in the past, is that right? So this part, the last part of this, we won't read it right now, but I just wanted to share. This is the display of sexual pleasure. It says, don't take of the cisterns that's not yours. So don't enjoy the physical relationship outside of your covenanted physical relationship. But my word, enjoy it in your covenanted physical union. As the deer, so should you. And let that be a statement that you just remind yourself over and over and over. And then, Sydney, if you would read 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5, 1 Corinthians reminds us who we devote our sexual desires and pleasures to and from. 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. Thanks. I know we read that earlier under God's gift to us. Now it's our gift to each other. And it's specifically saying there, you're not your own. And often we think about this, we're not our own, we're bought with a price, right? We're God's purchase. God's purchased us. So therefore, please God. All right, now how do we obey God? By obeying Him. We show Him we love Him because we obey Him. And guess what He just said there? Husbands or wives, don't withhold from your spouse. I know it really can be a difficult, and I only throw this out, not like write it down, this is your examples, but it can be a difficult situation when a husband so desires his wife, and she so much is averse to him, mostly because of her own upbringing or background or just weaponizing, whatever case may be. And it's so neat to not go, come on, just read 1 Corinthians 7. No, I don't need to read it again, but it's kind of like talk to him, it's like, just read 1 Corinthians 7 and asking her, would you please read those verses aloud? And there have been cases where almost like I feel like saying they never read them before that way. Oh, yeah, that's right. Let's make sure everyone that's married doesn't. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that makes sure Julie and Sam enjoy the physical. Oh, that's right. That's what that means. So don't say no, stop to the husband or no, stop. It just means don't withhold. Well, you figure that out. And it's not too hard, is it? I mean, it is amazing. You know, so often we think Scripture is so misunderstood. It's because we don't make it simple. I mean, we don't say, that means don't keep yourself from letting your husband touch you. Oh, is that what that means? Yeah. Oh, okay. And then just don't worry about it anymore. Or whatever the case may be. So God created our bodies for many uses. To work, to serve, to have pleasure. I mean, there's all sorts of things we do, don't we? When God created us, all of our bodies were created as they are now. There's no change. I mean, yes, there's sin in this world, but we are the way we were when He created us. Now, of course, there's been a lot of different models since then, because we're different people, 21st century versus way back in the day. But the same desires men and women had then, they do now. Now, there are unique differences in every marriage. Some husbands may have a very much stronger desire, and some wives may have a very much stronger desire. It's okay. Some like vanilla ice cream, some like chocolate. Oh, should we have a divorce because of that? Should we have this discussion because of that? No. You like it? So then here's your vanilla. And you like strawberry? Well, then here's your strawberry. I'm not going to eat the strawberry, but I'm going to sure give you strawberry. I know in one counseling situation I had, the wife just, one, didn't enjoy the relationship like her husband did. It's like, I just don't enjoy this. So it's like, well, if I don't enjoy it, then I don't want to do it. And I'm like, stop thinking that way. That's what he enjoys. Then enjoy his enjoyment. Not to my credit. That's God's, one of those statements I should have written down, but I didn't because it was God's giving. And it changed her whole life. She's like, yes, I enjoy him enjoying this. I enjoy you eating vanilla ice cream. I don't enjoy vanilla ice cream, but I enjoy you enjoying the vanilla ice cream. So here's the process there. It can be such a gift. So, Christians should have more accurate things to say about sex and a rightful enjoyment of sex than anybody. If God created it, we should be able to talk how great it is. This is a part of our living and visible witness to the world that God and God's ways are right, righteous, and joy-filled. I mean, it's so cool. God created it, so we love the trees, and we love the mountains, and we love the physical relationship. Just boom, 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 boom. The enjoyment and the jealous protection of love are of the Lord. Through Christ, God is jealously and graciously restoring humanity. So we want to continue to enjoy this. Proverbs 27:7, I read that earlier to you, about let that be the way you enjoy. Be so full of what's good that you never want what's bad. In everything. As counselors, this is kind of the end of the road here. As counselors, how do we implement this into our counseling? Prayerfully ask God to give you the right mindset that what God created was for our good. I just want you happy. No, this is for our good. God is most pleased when we do what He tells us to do. So then, prayerfully consider how to implement these truths into the lives of those with whom you counsel. God's Word says, it's not a John, it's not a Fred, it's not a Sandy. It's God's Word says. This is, we know this, this is a seldom talked about subject, but one that is in people's minds a lot. Our world uses it to promote and draw attention. Marriages should be an even more exciting adventure than purchasing cars and buying clothes. And you know how much you enjoy something new, something refreshing in those ways. So enjoy the gift of sex and marriage. And I would encourage you to take that, and just like in anything, if we're not sold on something, it's kind of hard to convince somebody else, isn't it? So make sure, and you think through that, as you, as married folks, make sure that you've worked through all these issues so that it is a refreshing, and then you can say, yes, it is the gift. God gave it to you to enjoy it, like you're to experience all of God's other gifts with pleasure and give Him glory. God's blessing makes the gift of sex and marriage a source of happiness, a source of reviving, and a source of refreshment. The lifelong, unbreakable union between spouses is expressed and nurtured in the physical relationship, in physical intimacy. Now, sometimes, thank you. I wanted to make sure I got that. Sex is good because the God who created sex is good. And God is glorified greatly when we receive His gift with thanksgiving and enjoy it the way He meant for it to be enjoyed. I get no credit on that, but at least I get to give you the source there. And then perhaps this would be helpful because sometimes we talk to people and it's kind of difficult, like, oh, I don't know how to talk about it, and you're not necessarily sitting there, let me tell you what all you need to know. And sometimes even in a couple's relationship, it's kind of easy to go, well, you know, he's missing the boat or she's missing the boat, but would you read chapter 3? Would you read chapter 6? So way back in the day, this would like be those of us that have been married 30 plus years or more, The Act of Marriage was out by Ken LaHaye, and it was a great resource, and it was the best resource because it was the only one back then. And then Intended for Pleasure has been one written by Christian medical doctor Ed Wheat. And he is, I guess I'd use the word more current than Tim LaHaye, not bad, not good, just a current written. And again, the Intended for Pleasure. Two really new works out within the last 5 years or so. One's called Sheet Music by Kevin Lehman, and Red Hot Monogamy by Bill and Pam Farrell. Even that title sounds kind of risque, doesn't it? But it's like, yep, in your own relationship, let it be. That's Song of Solomon for you. And so it might be of help, even as you're talking with your couples, to, you know, I don't even know how to talk about it. And that's okay. We're not trying to make you embarrassed at home. Why don't you buy this book? And then you can have you read chapter and you read chapter. And then when you're done, it is, isn't it, so much easier to talk about something after you've read something. It's like, so let's talk about chapter 3 a little bit. Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up. And then it can just kind of flow into it. And be ready. There are sometimes they're going to come back in the office. It's like, we want to talk to you about this. Great. If sex was created by God, it's meant for our good, then you can talk about it. Even if you feel awkward. Even if you, if she, the height with the wife and the husband are together in the room and they're asking you to talk to them, talk to them. God created it for their good. And so help them through that. Well, I know it probably felt like it was a machine gun getting all this out, but I really personally enjoyed working through this and bringing us to this process, and I hope it's been of encouragement and hopefully instruction and question. We actually have 4 minutes and 30 seconds. If somebody wants to ask a question, you're probably going to be everybody's hated friend as soon as you ask the question because they're ready to go get something to eat or go home. But I wouldn't mind if somebody had a question or two, and don't feel like you have to. Bobby. Yes.
I think if you're a counseling married couple, I think that's a great word to get.
Well, praise the Lord.
And use what God spoke to him to use in that book.
Thank you.
Know, we read it to our counselors before.
Oh.
But I think it was a chapter on the love chapter,
yep.
In Boston chapter 3.
Yep. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you. I'll give you your $10 after the class. No. No. If I might just jump on that. The last part of that whole book, and actually this can all be downloaded free, and you can use those materials without even buying the book. But there's a worksheet that I have there, and the last part of it is taken from another resource called His Needs, Her Needs. And it talks about what are the greatest needs in a man's life and greatest needs in a woman's life. And a woman's would be a lot more on the side of affection and communication. The husband's would be a lot more on physical relationship and recreational companionship. And then kind of the idea is take it and work together. But I hope that, anyway, if you want to just look in the back and find out how to get those materials, you're welcome to do that. Or however that can be of help. Thank you for saying that. Anybody else with another comment, question? All right, cool. Well, I, of course, am here through the conference. JohnLehman@HamptonPark.org is my email if you wanted to write anything. Other than that, yeah, JohnLehman@HamptonPark.org. Yeah, so John Lehman, so my name, JohnLehman, John Lehman, one word. And then our church is Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. So like Hampton Inn, but HamptonPark.org. Email. If you'd like to write me, I'd be happy to send it to Jim. No. I got a default going. Anyway, well, thank you. Praise the Lord. Bobby, would you close us in a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, wonderful. Thank you. Hope you have a great evening and some snacks and some refreshment with each other, and have a good one. Thanks.